Alrighty, this is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy here on the home of sport, SEN. Now, without doubt, this is an absolute... Well, it's bigger than a grenade. It is a massive, massive story of the AFL. And it only came to light last night in Parliament, in Federal Parliament. Last night, Federal MP Andrew Wilkie revealing all of this about a signed statement from former Demons head doctor Zeeshan Arain, in which he accused the AFL of facilitating the clandestine drug tests at a pathology in Heidelberg. The Minister Wilkie went on to say a multi-hundred million dollar fraud. Well, he's not a minister, Mr. Wilkie. MP Andrew Wilkie. Jared Waitley is on the line. I hope we've got the line clear because we've got a few technical issues coming in. But Jared is preparing for his show, which is going to be massive. What is the reaction to this story, Jared, and just how big is it?
Vossie, I hope you're hearing me. I'm not really hearing you, but it's front page news. It's over all of the morning breakfast shows. It's just trying to get a grasp of the why. The how was laid out pretty graphically in Federal Parliament. So that is an escalation that very few sporting codes endure. So... I feel like I'd attack it this way. If throughout the years you've harbored suspicions that drug bans were masqueraded as hamstring injuries, you were right. Now, I was a beat reporter back in the day, and this was always the story that was unprovable, is high-profile player, untimely hamstring, lingered longer than you might have anticipated, suspicions on every street corner, but the information was privileged and protected, and thus you could never publish. That system's now been pretty clearly laid out in Federal Parliament. It is accurate. The AFL will confirm that as the day goes on. So the idea that there was never any consequence for illicit drug use in football or in a football sense isn't true. Players did miss games. There was just no transparency about it. The problem with the drug system as it's been put forward over many years is it was always shrouded in secrecy and steeped in player welfare, and so less about accountability and certainly not about it having paraded in the public domain. I think there's a couple of nuances to this. One is, so it's illicit drug testing for what would amount to game day. So the AFL ensured that players never took the field with illicit substances in their system, which would be regarded as performance enhancing in that game, and thus would have undermined the integrity of that game that was played. So it's actually, that part of it is actually sound practice, not to allow players to get on the field with performance enhancing drugs in their system because the illicits are on game day, at no other time, but on game day, they're regarded as performance enhancing. I would say all testing is off the books, isn't it? All testing is private and there's a patient's right to that. So, yeah, we'll wait to hear from the AFL today to fully explain the principles that were at stake in what they were doing.
Wow. It's incredible, really, when you think about it and how high it goes. So Vossie and I, Jared, were chatting and saying, well, what is the next step? Do the AFL come out and say, yes, we're guilty of that. We knew all about it. Or do they try and deny and then there's an investigation?
Yeah. Can't be anything in between, can there, Brandy? Jared, can't be anything. It's either total denial or absolute 100% admission.
Yeah, they won't deny. They'll explain the way the system worked and why it fitted within their current drug policy, which has always been contentious. And then they will need to outline why it's not nefarious. The connotation that it was given in Parliament last night.
How do they explain that and say, oh, everyone's happy with that? Oh, that was good. Like, so we wouldn't test players that had taken cocaine or ecstasy or anything like that, illegal drugs, but not performance-enhancing drugs. We didn't want them to go positive on game day because that would have been seen as a positive performance-enhancing test. How does anyone go, yeah, okay, yeah, I can see that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That was really good. That was smart. It saved a lot of bad publicity for the game. And, players, everyone takes drugs. Everyone, so let's just play on. It's crazy.
Yeah, so, and I'm certainly not going to put myself into a position to answer for the AFL this morning. That's their job to answer those questions. So in that this policy has always risked the view that players were indulged these illicit substances. The counter to that has always been, well, it's a welfare policy, and even though we can't tell you which players we reformed along the way, it has served the players well. So in terms of what are they saving on game day, well, they're saving players' careers. It's a four-year ban if you test positive to cocaine on game day, and they do have one of those at the moment in Joel Smith, who's working through that system with Sports Integrity Australia. So that will be the part that is understandable, I think, is if there were players who are a high risk, if they were known drug users through the way this system was operating and they were flagged as high risk, then they weren't going to be allowed to take the field for two reasons. One, to test positive and have four-year ban sitting over them, and two, to undermine the integrity of the game.
So just yes or no, Jared, this was with the full knowledge of Chairman Richard Goyder and the former CEO Gil McLachlan.
I can't answer that, but I imagine the AFL will tell us this was how they operated their system within the construct of the... So this was agreed by the AFL, by the AFL Players Association, by the medical staff associated with it. But again, I'm very reluctant this morning to be in any position where I'm answering for it.
Jared, that's the first time
I've heard of that part of the system.
Okay. So over the years, not my head in AFL, but just would, you know, follow it and just hear stories and listen to commentators and also listen to public opinion and those that follow the game up here in Sydney. And there's always been a worry about drug use in AFL. And there's always been it's almost like there is a story there, but Melbourne media won't cover it. They won't tread up. I don't know. Is Melbourne media just like stood over by Big Brother, the AFL, and will not dare mention anything that they are told not to?
Every February this became a major talking point because that was the testing that was done over the summer. So the hair testing that could tell whether players across the previous 3 months had used illicit substances. Now, at the start, numbers were published, and then those numbers were removed from public view. So there was never information that you could work with at that stage. But you could go back to every February, and there was a sensational episode around Collingwood on the eve of the season where it was reported that the number might have been up to 12 players had tested positive over the summer. As I say, as a beat reporter, you would routinely chase this story. Is that hamstring actually a drug ban? But you could never prove the story because the system was set up to protect the confidentiality of the player. It was set up as a welfare system. We've long regarded it as a system of brand protection as well. So, yeah. And then the players who do get caught out, as you've just seen with the AFLW in Sydney, there's this almost a mandatory two-week ban that's associated with that. You own it, you apologise for it having been filmed with an illicit substance, and you serve 2 weeks.
3 months later, it gets revealed. Thank you, Jared. You've got your own show to prepare for.
Good luck.
And it's a huge story. Good luck getting this together because it broke last night, this story.
Yeah, it's an amazing story to grasp and then see where it goes. The next few hours are going to be really interesting.
Yeah, Jared Whateley. Thanks, Jared. There you go. You can actually listen on the app to Jared's program, follow the progress of that. Matt White will be all over it between 9 and 12 as well. A huge story in sport. Text straight away saying, how does the AFL government or get government funding, if they get any, with this cowboy-style of drug testing and own planet policies that make you realise they really do live in a world of their own? Media in Melbourne need to be proper journalists and not be scared of their accreditation being delisted 100%. By the AFL if they do report what we all know, what's actually going on.
That is so true. That is
the perception
such a
of
damn,
the West Coast. When you talk about
text message.
Drugs in AFL, like the West Coast Eagles have been multiple players. You wonder just how many times now, don't you? You wonder how many tests, how many times individual players tested positive, how this was helping their cause. Because the club was rampant with drug tests. It's just an amazing story that implicates so many they're going to come out and say, no, that's our policy. Cover up, smother, tests off-site. almost, as they say, clandestine tests.
And then,
it's incredible.
And then fake injuries. Say, tell a player if you test positive, you can't play today because if you get a game day test and you've got cocaine in your system, you will go positive and you'll be out for 4 years. That is, that's big.
What a story. And again, more people, you know, Mac of the Dragons, are there any issues with federal funding given non-compliance with sport integrity rules and procedures? That's one of the angles to come at on the story. We've got the news next. We've got Hemi Goodman coming up from Sportsbet. And it's going to be a busy half hour. It's going to be a busy day right here on SEN.